T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yep. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. We're talking to Nicole Bateman now, research analyst at the Brookings Institution, about COVID-19, the pandemic, and who has it been especially hard on. Good morning, Ms. Bateman. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Thanks for having me today.
It's okay to call you Nicole?
Absolutely.
Okay. I guess it's your name. What else would I call you, right? Has the COVID-19 pandemic been especially hard for working mothers? Is that a group that you can identify?
Yes, absolutely. The pandemic has been especially hard on working mothers. They have left the workforce more commonly than working fathers. They've also taken on more of the childcare responsibilities at home. So they're... They're in a tough spot right now, being asked to do more during this time. That's really been hard on everyone.
You know, one thing I was thinking of, and this might be a tad off track, and I don't mean to, but I was watching the nomination for Amy Coney Barrett, and everybody talking about what a qualified juror she was, and I guess the thing that jumped out at me, Nicole, is a lot of people that I think were saying how qualified she was, what a great asset she would be to the Supreme Court, don't realize that there are a lot of women that are assets wherever they work, whatever they do, but they don't get paid the same as do the men. It would be as though the female justices on the court would get, what, 70% as much as the men on the court? Is that about the differential we're talking about as it comes to female workers?
So it depends on how you cut it. It's actually when you control for things like education and work experience, it's not quite 70 cents. It's more like 92 to 98 cents to the dollar. So it's not as stark. It is better, but when you compound that over a career, it's a big difference. And it's unfortunately much of that. Once you control for all of these different factors, comes down to discrimination in the labor market against working women.
I don't know if you could hear Dave Cohen and I talking about it or not, but I mentioned that I'm going out a lot less, I'm saving a lot of money, and I'm kind of liking that happening. But I'm blessed and fortunate. I worked hard, but I also had a lot of breaks along the way to get to where I am. As it relates to this virus, one thing that I noticed that I think is particularly harsh is that it affects the people that can least afford it the most. Is that borne out by stats?
That is absolutely true. The number of layoffs, the share of workers experiencing layoffs, has mostly been borne by those who are already earning low wages. So these are the people that may have already been struggling in when the economy was good with low wages, more frequently living below the poverty line, having less savings. And this this crisis has really impacted the ends of the wage spectrum differently, with low wage workers bearing most of the layoffs. And then also on top of that, less likely to be able to work from home. So they're also the ones that are having to go out to their jobs and therefore are putting the health of themselves and their families at higher risk as well.
I'm guessing maybe not they don't have insurance as well, health insurance, maybe a lot of them?
So a lot of them don't. Especially because health insurance is tied to employment, their health insurance is also at risk too. If they do experience a layoff, And we do see that those who are in low-wage jobs are less likely to have health insurance from their employer as well than those earning higher wages. So that's very concerning right now when we are in the middle of a health crisis. It's definitely something to be concerned about.
All right, let's take a break. We'll pick it up here when we come back. We're talking to Nicole Bateman, research analyst at the Brookings Institution, about how COVID-19 has been especially hard for working mothers. If you are in that stream of people, pardon me, in that group, you're a working mother and it's been hard on you, I'd love to hear from you at 504-260-1870. That's the Mortgage Financial phone and text line. We'll be right back. Tommy Tucker, WWL. 9:23 now, and we're talking with Nicole Bateman, research analyst at the Brookings Institution, about COVID-19, the pandemic, and why it's been especially hard for working mothers. So what exactly have you found out, Nicole, about the pandemic and its effect on workers?
So if we're talking about working mothers specifically, they have been three times as likely to leave the workforce as working men. And are working fathers specifically. So in addition to that, they have also taken on much more of the child care duties. So they are, they're really in a tough spot right now. There's been more than 1 million job losses among working mothers, and this could have consequences even during recovery, if women are leaving the labor market and as a result seeing reduced wages or maybe not coming back at all.
Wow. And why has it hit working women so hard? Is it because of childcare or the stress that there is? It different stress, or does it just exacerbate the stress that working women are already under?
You really hit it the nail on the head there, Tommy. It's really exacerbated existing conditions that women were experiencing in the labor market, even, you know, during the decade-long expansion after the Great Recession. So women are more likely to be low-wage. So 54% of our low-wage workforce are women, even though they're only 47% of the labor market overall. And because the recession has affected jobs on the lower end of the labor market more, they've seen more layoffs. On top of that, in normal times, our economy asks a lot of women, full-time working mothers. Before the COVID recession hit, they were spending 50% more time on childcare duties than full-time working men. So with the schools closed or moved to mixed scheduling, both, you know, a mix of in-person or online classes, as daycares have reduced capacity, that trend has continued, and they've taken on more of the responsibilities at home, even more so than in usual times.
In terms of help, has there been any sufficient help? I know they're talking about stimulus package on Capitol Hill, but I'd pretty much bet whatever I had, you're not going to see that before the election, because if either side senses that the other side can gain anything by passing a stimulus package, they're not going to let it happen. That being said, I don't think it's going to happen. So what has been done to help, and what can be done to help?
So again, I think you're right here. The likelihood of another package seems unlikely, especially at the level that we would need. This is incredibly concerning, because right now most of the solutions we need will be reliant upon the federal government, because states and localities have balanced budget requirements and their revenue is very uncertain during this time. So the federal government really needs to step in. I would actually argue that some of the provisions that were provided by legislation earlier in the crisis, namely the Families First Coronavirus Response Act and the CARES Act, got a lot right. It provided additional funding for education and the Child Care and Development Block Grant, which helps lower earning people afford childcare. It also provided paid leave for parents who couldn't work because they were taking care of a sick child or because of a lack of childcare availability. So we need more of that. Many of those provisions are expiring, have expired, weren't adequate, and they need more support as this crisis continues. And I think you're right. I'm not sure that it's going to happen before an election or maybe even before the early part of next year.
I would bet everything I have, Nicole, it is not going to happen before the election. And I feel bad for the people that need the help. And I'm not trying to make fun of them at all or laugh at them. Believe me, I'm laughing at the process because I think it goes to show you what the priorities are really in Washington in terms of either helping people or winning elections. We talked earlier about more young adults living with their parents than any time since the Great Depression. How is that impacting families and households? And in terms of children, I don't know if it's nutritionally, I don't know if it's educationally. Is this something that we're going to have to face later on in terms of kids that have gone through this?
Absolutely. It's hard to predict exactly what that will look like. But the normal patterns of that children would generally be experiencing right now just have been completely upended. So many young kids are falling behind in school, and this is going to have disproportionate impacts on those children and families with lower incomes who maybe don't have access to the technology they need to participate in online remote learning. There's also just the trauma that these children and young people are experiencing. And as far as I know, there hasn't been anything like this. And so trying to predict what those long-term consequences are is difficult, but there will almost certainly be some going even as we come out of this time.
Anything you want to add before we let you go?
I just want to say that, you know, we've been talking about the economy, but I just want to make the point also that this is a health crisis first. And the best thing that we can do for working women and children and workers generally is get the pandemic under control so that we can return to a sense of normalcy. So the economy is important, but the health element of this cannot be overlooked, of course.
And one thing I wanted to add, and I forgot to bring it up before, is that because of the nature of maybe single mothers and working mothers, they have jobs that put them more at risk of actually contracting COVID, do they not?
Yes, workers who are having to actually go into a workplace, which is many low-wage workers and women who are more commonly in face-to-face jobs, they're absolutely putting their health more at risk and the health of their families more at risk in order to keep food on the table, pay rent, pay mortgages, et cetera.
I appreciate your time. I really do. And I hope you have a good day.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Nicole Bateman, research analyst at the Brookings Institution. Next half hour, we're going to talk to Jacqueline Hotard, president of St. John the Baptist Parish, about some of the decisions that they made as it relates to Mardi Gras parades in 2021. And because of COVID, 9:31 now, let's call it time for traffic on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.